I got to the river before dawn as instructed, and nursed the Chevy pickup cautiously off the dirt road and down along the bank to the safe and solid place I'd selected late the previous afternoon when I'd scouted the area by daylight. Of course, I'd done a little evening fishing afterwards to make it look good, but what I'd mainly been after was the assurance that come morning I'd be able to find the rendezvous in the dark. Now, having found it, I switched off the headlights and went around to the rear of the vehicle and opened up the camper to let the pup out. He was still young and naive enough to take me for a dog lover just because I fed him once a day. He paused briefly, therefore, to give my face a couple of wet licks before racing off to take care of various items of urgent dog business. I could hear him out there in the dark, but I couldn't see him since he was all Labrador and just about as black as a dog can get. I wiped my face with my sleeve and looked across the faintly gleaming water toward the Hanford Atomic Energy Reservation. According to the map, it occupied a considerable area of the state of Washington off in that direction, northwest if it matters, but at this hour of the morning, from where I stood on the opposite bank of the Columbia River, I could see only a few mysterious lights. I wondered if whatever they did over there had anything to do with what I was doing over here. In any case, I hoped they knew more about their present business, whatever it was, than I knew about mine. It was one of those super-security capers that seem to develop every time agencies other than ours get into the act, and as usual, I was supposed to go out and save the world with blindfold and earmuffs on, seeing and hearing nothing of a sensitive or classified nature. I reached inside the camper and turned on the light and pulled out my fishing rod. Well, it was mine now, the previous owner having no further use for it. I explored some tricky little tackle boxes and found a metallic lure that looked suitable, meaning that it looked heavy and compact enough to cast easily, and to hell with what the Columbia River steelhead trout might think of it. After some fumbling, I managed to attach it to the practically invisible monofilament line by means of a little swivel and snap hook gadget. I leaned the rod against the truck, pulled off the cowboy boots I'd been wearing, drew on some heavy socks, and fought my way into a pair of rubber hip boots. I switched off the camper light, picked up the rod again, glanced toward the lightening sky to the east, and headed for the wide expanse of grayly shining water to make like Ike Walton. The pup thought this was a fine, exciting project. He abandoned his business up along the shore and went racing past to splash into the water ahead of me. "Hank," I said, "get the hell out of there. I'm doing the fishing around here, not you. Hank, heel." I reached for the whistle hanging by a thong around my neck, but I didn't need it. He was kind of a special dog. At the moment, he was operating under the alias of Avon's Prince Hannibal of Holgate, Hank for short. But his real name was equally impressive, and he'd come to me complete with as many instructions as an expensive camera. These included a list of authorized commands, which, to my surprise, he usually obeyed. I mean, I'd known hunting dogs before, but they'd been wide-ranging pointers and setters, mostly, with a few hounds thrown in for good measure, all homegrown canine geniuses of a fairly independent nature. I'm sure the idea of walking docilely at heel had never occurred to any of them. Their job was to find game, not to show off their party manners. If you wanted one of them to stick around, you attached one end of a husky chain to his collar and got a good grip on the other end. But this was a retriever and a real gold-plated pup, professionally trained. At the command, he came back out of the water. He came reluctantly, but he came. He shook water all over me by way of protest. Apparently, there was nothing in the rules against this. And then he followed me along the bank, walking exactly level with my left knee. When I sat him down on a dry spot and told him to stay, he stayed. Somebody'd obviously put in a lot of work on him.